trusting God for protection. Say that. Trusting God for protection. Trusting God for protection. Right now we are in this place where the president, the governors, the states are starting to assess how to open things back up, how to get folks back into, I don't know if it'd be called normal life anymore, but a different way of living, but getting back active. Excuse me. And in that, there's wisdom that we must all walk in. And as people of God, we have to balance our faith with living in this reality and learning to live in a way that we are continuing to exercise our faith while we are, if you will, demonstrating our willingness to comply to and work with the things that are set in place for us. And so even now, as they're looking to open things back up, they're starting to make some mandates that says if you're going to be out or you're going to be in stores, you need to wear masks. And I don't believe that as the people of God that we should be walking around with a defiant attitude as if to say, I don't need to wear a mask because I'm covered by the blood of Jesus, even though you are covered by the blood of Jesus and we're washed in the blood of the Lamb. We want to walk in wisdom. Say, walk in wisdom. And so our faith and trust is in God. Our safety is in God. Our protection is in God. But we do the things that we need to do, not only for our sake, but for the sake of others. Say, the sake of others. Yeah, we want to make sure that we're doing things that help other people to be safe. And so I have a couple different masks that I keep in the car when I go into a store or something. I'll put it on. Now, my trust and my faith in my protection is in the Lord. But I don't want other people, I don't want to cause other people anxiety or concern because they don't necessarily live where I live in my walk with God, in my faith in God. And so this is the way that we're going to have to begin to operate. But I want to tell you this, that there is a place in God, a place of safety, that once you found that place, never leave that place. Never leave that place. Continue to walk out life, but walk out of that place of faith and trust. I talked about trusting God for provision, for providing, but now I want to talk about trusting God for our protection. Now, hear me when I tell you this. He has never not protected us. He has never not protected you. And it's good to know that, because sometimes if we don't think in the right frame of mind, what we end up doing is we pray like, oh, God, keep me safe, keep me safe, keep me safe. And he's saying, who do you think's been keeping you safe? I'll take that. Thank you. Who do you think's been keeping you safe? Well, say God. Come on. But what has happened is information has come to us. There was a movie out some years ago called Taken. And it's about this guy who has these incredible skills. And he's in the car driving one time with his daughter, and he's concerned about her going on a trip, and he's a father, but he also knew about things in the world. And so in this particular scene, he's saying to her, I'm concerned about you going on this trip. I'm concerned about you going by yourself. You haven't been out in the world. And she says, Mom says your job has made you paranoid. He says, no, my job has made me aware. My job has made me aware. And I'm saying that to help us understand this, that information comes to us and makes us aware. Say aware. Come on. Not afraid. Aware. The information comes to us and it makes us aware. But how you handle that information is key. And as people of faith, hear me now, we want to comply with the things that are being set in place in terms of life as we know it now, but not as a people who have no hope. and not as a people who has not seen God's faithfulness in your life every day of your life. God makes it clear that he will always take care of his people. As a matter of fact, just real quick, in Exodus chapter 8, and this is when God is dealing with Pharaoh. And this is what it says in Exodus chapter 8, starting at verse 20. It says, "Then the Lord said to Moses, get up early in the morning and confront Pharaoh as he goes to the water. And say to him, this is what the Lord says, let my people go, that they may worship me. It says, if you do not let my people go, I will send swarms of flies on you, on your officials, on your people, and into your houses. The houses of the Egyptians will be full of flies, even the ground where they are." It says this in 22, though. "But on that day, I will deal differently." Say differently. Come on, a few more of y'all. Say differently. He says, "I will deal differently with the land of Goshen, where my people are. No swarms of flies will be there, so that you will know that I, the Lord, am in this land." Then he says this, "I will make a distinction between my people and your people. This miraculous sign will occur tomorrow. I will make a distinction between my people and your people." I want to say to you this. As believers, there should be a distinction between how you and I walk out life as we know it today. There should be a distinction. There should be something that causes people to look at you and I and recognize there's a difference with how you are handling the information that's coming to you. Come on, say a people of distinction. And so today I want to talk about trusting God for protection, because we need to do that. You need to do that. Right now, they're talking about opening things back up, and there's all kind of narratives out there. Some saying it's too soon, some saying it's not soon enough, and somewhere in the middle of that is the balance of how we need to walk this out. But the way that the information has been presented, it can cause people to be fearful of everybody, because they're talking about a virus that really cannot be detected except that you start to show the symptoms. Yet they say you can have it and be asymptomatic, which means you never show the symptoms. Or they say you can have it and someone else can get it from you and you never really exhibit that you had it. So what it does, it plants a seed in your mind. It starts to plant a thought that everywhere you go, you have to be suspect of everybody. Now, is that just the way I'm feeling about it, or is anybody feeling kind of like the same way? Then they're telling you, you know, that you got to be careful, that, you know, there's social distancing. So how long do we live out in a place of social distancing? And when does somebody say it's over if you really don't know who has it, who doesn't have it? And they're talking about a vaccine that's supposed to be down the road, a couple years, maybe 16, 18 months. They're using all these different numbers. And I want to say to us as believers, hear me now, you and I must recognize the power of our words. We must recognize the power of our proclamations and our declarations. Make no mistake about it. Every time somebody comes on one of these news networks, I don't care if it's from the White House to any other house, and they're giving their opinion, they're making a declaration. They're making a proclamation. They're putting something out in the atmosphere that many people are starting to govern their lives by that information. We tracking good? Y'all tracking with me, or am I just talking to myself? Are we good? Talk to me. The camera's bouncing in and out. The screen is bouncing slightly. Is something moving other than me? What'd you say? Holy Spirit. Well, he wouldn't be doing that to the screen. This needs to be as clear as possible. Okay, so do we need to go off and come back on, or is it just, what do we need to do? I need you to talk a little louder. Okay, people are saying they're good. Okay, people are good. Hey, y'all good? I'm good. I just want to make sure that this message is getting out and it's not being distracted, or you're not being distracted. Keep rolling. Okay, glory to God. We're going to keep rolling. See, this is technology for you. We can talk. Y'all out there, it's just like if you were here in the auditorium, I'm saying, hey, can you hear me? You know, do we need to just make an adjustment? All right, well, let's keep going. So where was I? Thank you very much. We must recognize the power of our words. You have to recognize, listen, let me say it again, that the things that are going out over the airways, those are declarations, those are proclamations. They're putting things out there and they're talking about time frames of which this can end. Don't make the mistake of thinking as believers that we don't have any power to speak into the situation. We do. And we should. We need to be able to speak into every situation because that's why we are here. That's why the Holy Spirit is still here, in order for the purposes of God to be evidenced, manifested, and realized in the earth. And one of the things as believers is that you and I have the right to speak into things. That's why you have a prayer language. That's why you can get in a place of prayer and pray declaratively, prophetically, over that which is being shared as well. We must recognize that our words have the ability to turn situations. We are called to be a people of distinction. And so for the rest of my time, I want to focus on Daniel. I want to focus on Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Now, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, you know them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But I want to talk about from their real names, and I want you to be able to see God's hand of protection as they chose to be men of distinction. Now, hear me, we will have opportunity as time goes on to be very, very resolute about where we live in the things that are going on. I don't believe that everything that's going to show up that they say you need to do this, I don't believe as believers we're going to need to do all of it. But hear me, I'm talking about being a people of distinction, not a people of defiance. Okay, I'm talking about being a people of distinction. And that distinction comes from God working in our lives, working through us, directing us, and keeping us. It's in Daniel chapter 1 that the people of God, they come into captivity. They come into Babylonian captivity. When they come into captivity, the first thing that Nebuchadnezzar does is he singles out all of the youth who he looks at as having no defect, as it says here, were good looking, showing intelligence in every branch of wisdom, endowed with understanding and discerning knowledge, and who had ability to serve the king. So they pick out these individuals. Once they picked them out, they said this concerning them. It says, now we must teach them our literature, our language. And then it goes on and it says that he changed the names and their diet. Now hear me. Anytime you want to change a culture or key elements to culture, our language, diet, dress, apparel, appearance, and name. When you want to assimilate someone into a culture, very often they change their language, they change their diet, they change their dress, they change their name. And all of that is going on as Daniel is singled out, as well as Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. Now, it says this concerning them. I'm dropping down to verse 7, chapter 1, verse 7. It says, then the commander of the officials assigned new names to them. And to Daniel, he assigned the name Belteshazzar, to Hananiah, Shadrach, to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah, Abednego. Now, I want you to recognize this is important. It's important that you understand that the names that were being given to them were to bring them up under Babylonian culture. That's why names are important. Say, names are important. That's why names are important. So they're given Babylonian names because now they're in Babylon. But then the word says this, but Daniel made up his mind. Say, made up his mind. Say, my mind's made up. Come on, you just say it with a little more verbosity. Come on. My mind's made up. Listen to me. Listen to me. You've got to make up your mind before you get in some situations. You've got to make up your mind before you get in some situations, not once you're in it. Your mind needs to be made up, brothers, before you get in the situation, not after you get in the situation. There needs to be a level of resolve. Daniel had a resolve. Daniel said, I will not eat any of this food that's been offered up to idols. And the scripture says this, as David made that level of distinction, as he made that resolve, it says that God granted Daniel favor with the commander who had oversight of him. Now, not only did Daniel agree, make that decision, but so did Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. So they themselves said, we will not eat of this food. Said, give us 10 days and see what we look like after 10 days. 10 days come and go. When they come back, they find out that these men look better than everybody else who ate from the king's table. And then when they talked to them, they found out that their wisdom was far beyond others around them. And so they were, once they had been indoctrinated, and I just want to use that word, once they had been assimilated, it says, then the king talked with them and found out that Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were far above the others, and so brought them into his court. It says this, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and the conjurers who were in the realm. Daniel continued to serve. That was all in the first year. Then it says this in chapter 2, that in the second year, the king has a dream. Now, one of the things that I want you to get out of what I'm sharing with you is that the people of God have to learn how to walk in the culture that we're in. You've got to learn to walk in the culture that you're in, because this isn't get saved, get me out of here. So this is get saved, get busy transforming the things around us. Wherever your assignment is, you're there for a reason. Ask God to help you become aware of what that reason is. So Daniel is now set in this prominent place, and Daniel is serving. While he's serving, the king has a dream. Now, when the king has the dream, it's disturbing to him. So he goes to his magicians and all of those that are supposed to be the sorcerers. Everybody is supposed to be able to discern the dreams. And listen to what it says here in chapter 2, verse 10. It says, now the Chaldeans answered the king, because here's what the king said. The king said, I'm not telling you the dream, because if I tell you the dream, then you're going to make something up. He says, I want to know that you really can interpret. So I need you to tell me what I dreamt and then tell me the interpretation of what I dreamt. That's what he puts out. And then he says, and if you don't, I'm going to kill all of you. That's what he says. The Chaldeans, I'm at verse 10, the Chaldeans answered the king and said, there is not a man on earth who could declare the matter for the king, inasmuch as no great king or ruler has ever asked anything like this of any magicians, conjurers, or Chaldean. Moreover, the thing which the king demands is difficult, and there is no one else who could declare it to the king except gods, small g, whose dwelling place is not with mortal flesh. But because of this, the king became indignant and very furious and gave orders to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree went forth, and the wise men, that the wise men should be slain, and they looked for Daniel and his friends to kill them. Now check this out. So Daniel's minding his business. But because none of them could answer the need, now everybody's life is at stake. And now they're looking for Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael to kill them. Then it says this. Daniel replied with discretion and discernment. The captain of the king's bodyguard, who had gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon, he answered and said to him, the king's commander, for what reason is the decree from the king so urgent? He informed Daniel of the matter. Now listen to this. So Daniel went and requested of the king that he would give him time in order that he might declare the interpretation to the king. Then Daniel went to his house and informed his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, hey guys, we got a problem. So the king's had a dream. It ain't looking too good, because he wants somebody to be able to tell him what the dream is and interpret the dream. So what I need y'all to do, I need y'all to pray. I need you to pray, because I need God to talk to me, or we're going to die. He comes to his friends and he says, in order that they might request compassion from God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that Daniel and all his friends might not be destroyed with the rest of the wise men. Now, I'm talking about trusting God for protection. Others will be protected because you're protected. Others will be protected because you're protected. Others will be protected because you're protected. When God's hand is on your life, sometimes the best thing other people can do is just get around you. Other people will be protected because you're protected. I remember some years ago, I'm riding with a friend of mine in his car, and we're riding down the road, and we're in these two lanes, and we came to this light, and when we came to the light, there's a car next to us, about four guys in that car with us, and my buddy and I, we're in the car, and when the light changed, the buddy I'm riding with, he takes off because he's going to try to shoot in front of them before this car that's parked up front. Well, they gas it too. So we're like, whoo. And at the very last moment, he darts in. Now he darts in, and you can feel the tail end of our car clip the front end of theirs, just enough for it to bump it. And we got in front. I'm like, Jesus. And so we're flying down this road. Now there's traffic coming this way, like this, and they're right behind. They ain't letting up. So my friend, he's riding, and he decides he ain't gonna keep speeding. So he just turns off onto this other road and throws on his brakes and jumps out the car. And I'm like, okay, here we go. I'm just a passenger, but here we go. So I jump out the car with them, you know, like I'm going to do something. You know, I'm just, you know, I got these little gloves on, you know, like jump out the car. Four guys jump out the other car. And they walk up on us, and right when it was, I don't know what was going to happen. Thank God, you know, it wasn't concealed carry back then like it is now, because you don't know who's got what. I just know right when it was getting ready to go down, one of them four guys said, "Hold up, I know this guy." Now he's talking to my buddy. "I know this guy. Yeah, man, I was in the store, man. I took something, and he saw me. He didn't tell on me." "No, I mean, they're good people." I'm like, "Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I got saved right then all over again. I'm telling you, protection. God will protect others in protecting you." I'll never forget that. And Sean, if you watch this, man, I love you, man. You know, I talked to you just this week, so we good, okay? I'm telling you, I ain't making it up. I said, "God, thank you." Daniel recognized the relationship that he had with God. Listen to me. Daniel recognized the resolve that he had made. Daniel recognized, "God has been protecting me up till now." You have to recognize that. You have to acknowledge that. Don't pray. No. Let me say it a different way. When you pray, pray out of a place of confidence that there are other viruses, there are other diseases that have come and gone. You never knew anything about them. You just became aware of this. But when you become aware doesn't mean God is just becoming aware. That's a good time to clap. No. Once we become aware, then the question becomes is, "Father, what are you requiring of me in light of what I now know?" He says, "Wear the mask." Just wear the mask. I got you, but just wear the mask. You know, you want to be creative about it. I met with Dr. Moss the other day, and and guys on the second floor, you know, wearing the mask. And Dr. Moss had his mask on. His mask, all across the front of his mask, said faith. Right. Absolutely. Wear the mask, but just say something. I'm trying to figure out how to get a mask that says same faith, same God. Just, poof. Yeah. If you're going to wear a mask, you might as well testify at the same time. Can three of y'all just kind of shout, say something? If you're going to wear a mask, say something on it. Yeah. Have a kingdom statement on it, a kingdom word on it. Daniel went to his friends and said, "I need y'all to pray because I need God to speak to me concerning this situation. I believe that God is speaking right now to help bring resolve." It's going to take the people of God to continue to pray and trust God. Trust Him for provision. Trust Him for your protection. So Daniel prays. Down in verse 24, the latter part, it says this. Daniel goes to the commander who the king appointed to destroy the men, the wise men of Babylon. He went and spoke to him the following: "Do not destroy the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king's presence. I will declare the interpretation of the king to the king." He says, "I've got the answer. I've got the answer." I love that when he gets there, how he presents the answer. Because one of the things that God's going to help us with is he's going to bring us answers, but he wants it clear. When I give you the answer, you make sure you tell him where the answer came from. Because that's how people are going to turn to God. You hear them say, we have some of the most brilliant minds in the world working on this. Well, okay. Some of this ain't got anything to do with brilliant minds. This got to come from heaven. This got to come from the Holy Spirit speaking. This isn't brilliant minds. Can be. But I don't take a whole lot of stock in, we've got the most brilliant minds working on this. Okay, praise God. I'm going to keep praying that one of those brilliant minds will get a revelation. That one of those brilliant minds will hear from God in this matter. So it goes on and says, he hurriedly brought Daniel into the king's presence and spoke to him. I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king. The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, that's the name they gave him, are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation? Daniel, before the king, said, as for the mystery about which the king has inquired, neither wise men, conjurers, magicians, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. What he's saying is, oh king, listen, now let's be clear. Nobody can do that. No man can do that. But then he says this, however, there is a God. I love that. He says, however, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. Man can't fix this. Man can't answer this. But God can. As the church, as the body of Christ, as he continues to protect us, take care of us, we must pray into the mysteries of all of this so that we're not going with just the information being presented. I want to know the story behind the story. I want to know the reason behind the reason that you're telling me. Because that will be what governs how I go moving forward. Don't tell me put on a mask when you know a mask isn't really going to do anything. At best, it brings some level of comfort to see other people wearing masks, because then you think, well, we're doing our due diligence for this thing not to spread. But what about the doorknobs, and what about the door handles, and what about the car handles, and what about this, and what about that, and what about this, and what about that? You're saying it's everywhere. I need to understand the mystery behind the mystery of what this is about. Daniel makes it clear. King, I want you to be clear now. I ain't trying to get credit for this. I'm just here because I don't want to die. And I don't want my buddies to die. So he says, there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the visions in your mind while on your bed. And he goes on, and he reveals it. He makes this clear. He says, as for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turn to what would take place in the future. And he, God, who reveals mysteries, has made known to you what will take place. But as for me, now this is Daniel, but as for me, this mystery has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than any other living man. but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind. And he goes on and he shares with him the dream and the interpretation. As a result of that, dropping down to verse 46, then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and did homage to Daniel and gave orders to present to him an offering and fragrant incense. The king answered Daniel and said, surely your God is a God of gods, small g, and the Lord, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of mysteries, since you have been able to reveal this mystery. Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts, and he made him ruler over the whole province, and Daniel the chief prefect over all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel made request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hananiah, Azariah, Mishael, over the administration of the province of Babylon, while Daniel was the king, was at the king's court. So now they're promoted, and that brings me to Daniel chapter 3. I'm talking about trusting God for protection. You see, our ability to trust God in challenging times is directly related to our ability to remind ourselves of how he has brought us through challenging times, brought us through dangerous times, brought us through health challenges, brought us through accidents and things that he has delivered us out of. And when we remind ourselves of that, rehearse those things, continue to pray and praise him for those things, it keeps us in a space that when something happens, you and I are not moved by it like others. So Daniel, Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, they have learned how to trust God for protection. He kept them when they decided not to eat the king's food. He made them more healthy. As a result of it, the king chose them. Then, when the king said, if you can't interpret the, if you can't tell me the dream, interpret the dream, I'm going to kill all of you. It was Daniel that went to his friends and said, I need you to pray that God show me the dream, give me the interpretation, or we're going to die. They were working with Daniel collaboratively, and God responded. But I want you to understand this. There are times for every one of us, for every one of you, when you will have your own test. That's not necessarily connected to someone else. It's God's way of proving to you his faithfulness to you, his faithfulness to me. And so in Daniel 3, there's an edict, a decree that goes out that Nebuchadnezzar has this statue made. And he has the statue made, and he gives this decree that when the music plays, everyone is to bow down to this statue of him, this idol. And so when they play the music, everybody, say everybody, everybody bows down except Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. In the scriptures, it says this. Others who saw that went to the king and said this, verse 12. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the administration of the province of Babylon, namely Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have disregarded you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image which you have set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in rage and anger, gave orders to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men were brought before the king. brings them in. He asks this question. Is it true, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image I have set up, that I have set up? Says, now if you are ready, at the moment you hear the sound of the horn, the flute, the lyre, the trigon, the psaltery, the bagpipe, and all kinds of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, very well. But if you will not worship, you will immediately be cast into the midst of the furnace of the blazing fire. And what God is there who can deliver you out of my hands? Now, how many know that's a setup? So understand this. I believe that in this season we are seeing some divine setups. What I mean by that is this. God is allowing things to go the way they are to set the stage to demonstrate his power. In order for that to happen, though, it's going to take a people, it's going to take some people who have learned to trust him, learned to walk with him, those who have the experiences with him that says, even though this looks challenging, even though it even looks impossible, my God is the same God in every situation. And so I simply need to trust him, and he will deliver me out of this situation the way that he has delivered me out of every other situation. You see, that's what David said concerning Goliath. He says, look, God delivered me from a bear, from a lion. He says, I've got history with God. He will deliver this giant into my hands. He's talking about relationship. He's talking about his experience. But the king offers them an ultimatum. He's giving them another chance. It says this in verse 16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered the king, said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to give you an answer concerning this matter. They're saying, we don't need to think about it. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. It says, but even if he does not, let it be known to you, O king, that we are not going to serve your gods or worship the golden image that you set up. Trusting God for protection. Their response was simply, no, we're not doing it. Well, most of us in the room, I think have some sense of the story, and maybe many of you that are listening, watching, by way of the internet, that once they said that, it caused the king to become enraged, even more so, to the point that now he says, tie them up, put the coat on them, put their hats on them. Then he says, heat the fire up 7 times hotter than it normally is and throw them in. In the midst of divine protection, we can trust God that even while things around us are happening, it won't touch us. As a matter of fact, Psalms 91, everybody's quoting this one right about now, and should be. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, and I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it's he who delivers me, delivers you from the snare of the trapper, from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, nor by the arrow that flies by day, or by the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, or the destruction that lies waste at noon. 7. 1,000 shall fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. You will only look on with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. I believe that there's divine protection right now for the people of God, for all who are trusting in God. They tied up the men. And this is the point that I like to make when I read this passage of scripture, this distinction. These men never lost sight of who they belonged to. They never lost sight of who they believed in. And so the scriptures tell us when Daniel went to talk to them, he didn't go talk to Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He went to talk to Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael. And I believe that distinction is something for all of us to grab a hold of, because when they were thrown into the fiery furnace, had they gone in as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they'd have died. But they never came up under the rule of Babylon. They never came up under the rule of the system. And as believers, as kingdom people, we have to learn to be in the world, but not of the world. Meaning that you learn to live out life here, but recognize that it's not your residence. Recognize that you and I are part of an unshakable kingdom. We have an eternal God who is in charge of everything. And so consequently, I believe they went into that fiery furnace as Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, not Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. God met them because they knew who they believed in. It's interesting to note that even as they were going into the fire, the men who were throwing them in the fire were consumed. Once they got in the fire, it says they fell down in the fire, and then they stood up. And the ropes that had them bound were burnt off. They're in there with their coats and their hats on. And the king looks in, and he says, I thought we threw three in the fire. He says, I see a fourth one in there. Verse 24, it says this. Nebuchadnezzar the king was astounded and stood up in haste. And he responded and said to his high officials, was it not three men we cast bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said, yes, king, certainly, O king. He answered and said, look, I see four men loosed and walking about in the midst of the fire without harm, and the appearance of the fourth is like a son of the gods. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the furnace of the blazing fire and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come out, you servants of the Most High God. It says, when they came out, the fire had no effect on their bodies. And these men, nor was the hair on their head singed, nor were their trousers damaged, nor had the smell of fire even come upon them. Trusting God for protection. Trusting God for protection. Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael were able to trust God emphatically because they had been trusting him all along. And my encouragement to all of us, for every believer, and for those that are not even a believer, not even born again, you're not a Christian, this word is for you, that there is a God, the God of heaven, the God that we see in the scriptures that I've talked about here, who Nebuchadnezzar had to acknowledge as the Most High God. Because back in those days, they worshiped all kind of gods. Even today, our culture and our societies, we worship all kind of gods. But there really is only one God. He's the God of heaven. And it's that same God that we see here in the scriptures who protected Daniel, who protected Hananiah, Azariah, and Mishael, is the same God protecting us right now. As a matter of fact, if you read on a little further, you'll see that they try to set Daniel up again. They try to set Daniel up because Daniel was a man of prayer. And they asked the king to give an edict that says that between, for the next 30 days, that no one would pray except to his God, except to him. They did that knowing that Daniel would pray every day. He would open up the window and pray, and people could see him. And they made the king sign the oath that could not be reversed. So when it came time for Daniel to pray, he did as he always did. And when they saw him, they went to the king. They said, "Oh, king, didn't you make this edict? Didn't you make this decree that cannot be reversed?" He said, "Yes." They said, "Well, Daniel's praying." The king knew that he had been set up because he loved Daniel. And he came to Daniel and he said, "I can't reverse this, but just maybe your God, who has protected you, will protect you again." And Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. And it says in the scriptures that the king did not sleep all night out of concern. And in the morning he went and he opened up the door and he hollered in, "Daniel, are you in there?" And he's saying, "Yes, O king, I'm here." Because God did exactly what he'd always done for Daniel. God did what the king hoped he would do for Daniel. And that is, he protected him once again. That same God is working right now through the earth. That same God is working right now in your life and in my life. That same protection is available. And I want you to know that the scripture says that the goodness of God reigns on the just and the unjust. He's keeping many who are not even believers, but it's out of his goodness, it's out of his mercy, and it's out of his grace. To every believer that's hearing this message, I want to encourage you to continue to trust God. Yes, let's do the things that we need to do, but walk in the assurance that the same God that we've read about in the scriptures is working even now. His hand of protection is on you and I. He is divinely keeping all of us, and he will continue to do so. We've only become aware of some things, and it's causing us to acknowledge his faithfulness and his goodness even more.